In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. There are in this parable four types of human beings. There's the person who is so comfortable in society that they know everything that's going on. They know everything. They've considered every type of lifestyle. And at the end of it, they have nothing. Nothing that if somebody gives them the least type of cohesive argument, that they will not depart from their place to move to another place. Such that if you find somebody today that has a particular political persuasion, and you start to really argue the facts, watch them move. Watch them move. They don't have anything, but yet they are hardened, and they will oppose you. They will yell. They will do all kinds of things. The beaten track is the track that has been trodden on by so many. And what does trodden on mean? It means your mind has been beaten down because there's not really anything that you've bought into. There's not anything that has any depth. You might be a mile wide, but you're only an inch thick. It would be better if you were an inch wide and a mile deep. These are the fathers and the mothers that you see around the church. We're part of something that is much better than other people confess. You go into many places and you will not see things like this. There are all stories connected with this. And the only reason there are so few icons is because we're a poor church. You can tell we're a poor church. But in this poverty, this is the good kind of poverty. This is not the kind of poverty where we have not lost our generosity. Anybody comes into our church, we embrace. And people, sometimes the homeless will come in, and we will feed them and do the things that are necessary for them. But I'm telling you, the wealth that we have is only wealth to a person who tries to plumb the depths of their heart. The second time that we look at the people that are identified as people that are, well, the soil is rocky. It's called rocky. So it means it doesn't have depth. So people hear things and they're excited about it. But the excitement is momentary. It's momentary. You get enthused. I don't know if you've ever watched some religious programs on TV. I do. And especially I like the black churches. And they really get excited. Especially if you listen to somebody like Bishop T.D. Jakes. He's a great expositor, and he is able to speak to his people. He's from Texas. He's able to speak to his people in a way that really gets them going with tremendous enthusiasm. Another person who's not black, he's white, John Hagee, again in Texas. The people go out, and then it's back to whatever they left. There's no change. It's back to whatever they left. I know people who are happy in church, you know, a man and a woman, and then they go back into their homes and they start fighting as soon as they enter the front door. Something reminds them about some issue, and it starts right up. This is the rocky soil. The third kind of soil is the soil where the thorns and the thistles have not been weeded from the plot of land. So although there is sufficient land and sufficient depth of soil so that good things will arise, the thorns choke it off. You know, I spent a whole lot of money when I sodded my yard, getting Marathon 2 grass. I thought I was just so clever. I'm getting the best grass. And Marathon 2 grass, by the way, if you don't know, it doesn't even require as much water as other grass. But guess what? The neighbors in the area have this grass that must have survived every single desert climate, you know, for years. And Bermuda grass is now growing up in my yard, in my expensive Marathon 2 grass. You don't think, unless you are an agronomist or a farmer or you really take care in a garden, just what damage can be done if other kinds of vegetation are mixed with the thing that you want to actually grow. I want to grow something. I want something to be beautiful. I want to partake of the benefit of having spent my time cultivating and irrigating and using insect spray to keep bugs off of it so that it won't eat. And then I've lost because the seeds are in the ground. You know, you can't pull a weed up at the top. You have to dig down into the soil to get to the root, or it just grows up again, and it grows with such an accelerated pace. Well, the cares of this world, the cares of this world is, well, you know, I'd like to go to church, but I've got business today. I've got things that I have to do. You know, I know people that have small businesses, and they feel continually pinched. Somebody gets ill, somebody's sick, something's happening. They have to move right back over there into that position to substitute for the person who's missing. And sometimes, well, all the time, if they have to choose between their business and the church, they're choosing their business, because business, after all, is what's important, right? That's what the president said. You know, the business of America is business. You know, we were founded by religious people. America was gifted by the zealousness of people towards God who founded it, but it quickly turned to the worship of a different God. And so now here we are, and now Christians fight for things for which it should have been true that we of all people are worthy of the largesse of all of the efforts that have come before our generation. At any rate, there's the one last group of people are identified as those having good soil. They hear the word of God, which the sower has sprinkled, and the earth is ripe for accepting this. We talk about fertility sometimes, guys, especially, you know, in very crude ways. I remember one guy telling me after I got married, he says, as soon as you kiss your wife, she's going to get pregnant. And it's well, it's a fact. 5 days later. But the point I'm making is that, you know, if we did the same thing, if we had the same fecundity, if we have the same fertility, if we have the same if we have the same relationship to spiritual things that we do to carnal or physical things, oh my God, the world would not have a chance to have given birth to all of the various and variegated types of philosophies that now compete, sometimes militarily, for prominence, where people lose their lives in horrific wars. If we were just that last group, and we're not. So, what do we say about ourselves? Everybody is given a plot of soil. This is your soul. Everyone has a soul. What are you doing with your soul? Is it dried and beat down and hardened? Is it full of rocks because you're lazy to remove them so that the earth may accept the seed? Will you not weed out the things? It's called in Greek, kenosis, where you empty yourself of those other things that will choke the cares. You know, I was just talking to a man earlier today, and he was talking about his daughter who's recently married, and they're very prosperous, and they're taking plane trips to the Napa Valley for wine tasting and going to eat dinners $2,000 a piece, you know, in San Francisco, taking a plane. They can do this. They can do this. God bless them. God bless them. But do you begin to see that once you start to live in this fashion, that it becomes a snare? You know, I've advised young priests who were entering the priesthood to try to live on the least amount of money they could. Because it's easy to maintain your integrity when you are poor. Because when you are poor, you don't have so much, right? Typically. And so there's not that much that can be threatened. How can you threaten a poor man? He's going to say, "What are you going to take away from me?" And maybe somebody is really, you know, aggressive. "Your life." Okay. "Take my life. Where do you think I'm going after that? I know where you're going. Where do you think I'm going? I'm not afraid of that." So you preserve yourself sometimes when you are not attenuated, drawn out by the desire for these kinds of possessions. Will you not then take care of that plot of soil that the Lord has given you? Right? Don't let the cares of this world or your fear because of all of the hard work that you think is ahead of you. You know, I've seen places, the National Geographic, you must have all seen these things, where indigenous people in mountainous areas terrace the soil. That means they make the soil look like little stair steps. If you look at a mountainside, it no longer looks like a mountainside. Actually, it looks a whole lot like the Great Pyramid in Egypt, because they've taken away all of the siding from it, you know, to put in mosques and things. But it's terraced. Nothing could be harder. They didn't start out with flat land. They didn't just say, "Okay, God doesn't love us, let's just sit down and die." No, they said, we will not just survive, we will thrive. We will become prosperous, and we will do it in this way. There are people that have learned how to bring water from great distances. If you look again in Europe, you'll see Roman aqueducts. Aqua means water, and duct means to lead. So they take the streams from mountains and bring them across great distances in aqueducts. We will not do without water, right? Israel is made up mostly of desalinization plants. They take the water from the ocean and they remove the salt from it. And with that, they take care of all of the agronomy and agricultural needs, right? Okay, so we shouldn't shy away from that. But here's the generosity of the Lord. The Lord knows when he looks at us today, who's got the hard heart, who's got the rocky heart, who's got the heart that's choked with cares of this world, and he knows who has the good soil. And you know what? You guys with the hard hearts, he's still throwing out the seeds to you. The Lord is saying, "I haven't given up on you. Maybe you've given up on yourself, but I haven't given up on you. I'm going to continue to do this. I'm going to continue to sow the word. The word so that when you finally have ears to hear and you hear my voice and change takes place, then I can gather you in as I have always wanted." And you know what's written? Sometimes the last will be first. The Lord will so appreciate that hard-headed, person that's just recalcitrant. He doesn't want to move from his position. He doesn't want to change his lifestyle. Sometimes the Lord makes that person really sick. Have you ever known, you know, a relative or somebody that was sick for like a couple of years? Usually, in my opinion, I'm thinking that God is working with that person because there's something that person didn't want to get rid of in their life. And now, when they feel helpless, when they feel out of control, when they feel that they have no one else to whom they may look for help, they reach out and they say, Ya Rabbi, my Lord. And the Lord says, yes, I'm here, right next to you, as I always have been. And I'm ready if you are ready. Come. He's always extending every single one of his capacities towards us in the generosity of his love. He is always kind. He is always patient. He doesn't want to trap anybody. He wants to pick you like the intelligent person going to an orchard and finding the piece of fruit that is the most perfectly ripe and takes a big bite out of it and goes, so sweet, so wonderful. Think about that. This is what the message of today has for you and for me. You know, my soil is not all good. Some parts of my soil is trodden down. Sometimes I got a portion of my soil that's choked with thorns. Sometimes I have a lack of depth. I'm ashamed of all those things. I'm ashamed to say those things to you. But at the same time, I'm happy to say to you, the Lord isn't yet done with me. I'm not yet dead. I have this day. That's why we pray with enthusiasm. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice in the day of the Lord. Be glad in the day of the Lord. That he is putting up with somebody like me. That he's putting up with somebody like you. And we have another day in which we may make ourselves more acceptable to him. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.